and welcome to the Luke Miller Podcast. I'm glad that you're able to join us this week. On today's episode, we're taking a look at biblical truth and what it means for us to live in God's Word and seek absolute truth. We're going to be doing that as we take a look at Psalm 119 and really walk through verse by verse of this passage, which calls us to live out a daily life on biblical truth and love God's Word. I'm excited for today. I hope you are too. So grab your Bibles, turn to Psalm 119, and let's dive in. Today we take a look at Psalm 119, and as we do that, we find ourselves in the longest chapter in the Bible. And don't worry, we're not going to go verse by verse through the longest chapter. We're going to primarily find ourselves in verses 9 through 16. As we take a look at what it means for us to dive into God's Word and really come up with this picture of, in order to live out God's Word, of course, the first and foremost, we need to love God's Word. And that's kind of our primary focus today in that as we take a look at truth. Now, before I start, I think it's good that maybe we take a look at a few things about the psalm itself. Yes, it is the longest chapter in the Bible, but it has some unique features as well as we start to get the context for what's happening. The first is that the psalm itself is an acrostic, and it's not apparent in English, but the writer used the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet as his guide. And here's how he did it. He composed 22 8-verse stanzas. Each verse in a particular stanza begins with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. For example, verses 1 through 8 all begin with the first letter of the alphabet, which is Aleph. Verses 9 through 16 go with the letter Bet. And so on and so on. And so we're taking a look at the second stanza of this acrostic. So if you go through all the sections of the different, or the 22 stanzas of 119, the first letter of that stanza will start with the next letter of the alphabet as the further down you go. Just kind of a unique thing that happens in that, but you can see how intentional the writer was even as he was composing it. We're taking a look at that second stanza, so it starts with the letter Bet, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Almost every verse contains a direct reference to the Bible. That's something very unique. To mix it up a bit, the writer uses at least 9 scriptural synonyms to describe God's Word. He uses the words law, testimonies, judgments, precepts, statutes, commandments, ordinances, promises, and word. So there's the direct reference to the Bible in almost every verse, but he mixes up the words that he uses purposefully to create, obviously, as we're in the book of Psalms, poetry. I really think, too, as we dive into this, is that God will use this psalm to renew your love for his word. If you feel a little bored by the Bible, or sometimes reading it, you're just doing it because that's what your daily reading guide tells you to do, I think this psalm is really the perfect solution. And as we talk about biblical truth and we talk about what that means to us, I think we have to love biblical truth and desire biblical truth so that we can live it out. So when we take a look at this, really the first thing that we see is, of course, something very straightforward. Some steps in order that for us to saturate ourselves in Scripture and read God's Word. The first is simply reading God's Word. We have to start here, even though it sounds so simple. Jesus assumes believers will know the Bible and be reading it regularly. In Matthew 21:16, have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise? Here are some practical practices to help you read the Word on a regular basis. And I've talked about this, and again, it's a process, but the first is read God's Word. You want to fall in love with God's Word, you got to read God's Word and read it intentionally. And for me, I take a look at this as developing a habit of time with God, and find that time each day where you need to have with Him. Not go about your whole day and try and fit God in somewhere, but be intentional about where you put God in your day and the time you spend with Him, meaning your phone is off. You're not getting any updates on any football trades or anything like that, or what the final four scores are as they come in. The other is one that's simple, and it's just saying, develop a plan. Whether it is saying, I want to read through the entire book of Matthew and go verse by verse through that, or the New Testament. But the one thing that I say in all of this is start small. The more you read, the more you'll want to read. But at the same time, I do think that it's important to not just read five chapters just for the sake of reading five chapters. One of my favorite things when I was in elementary school was after lunch, when you were in second, third, fourth grade, the teacher would always read a chapter of a book. And you wanted so badly for them to read the next chapter. But that always was, you know, as we finished one chapter, we'd be just one more chapter. And then they would say, well, tomorrow we'll read one more chapter. And I remember it because we'd be reading these exciting books and adventures. And yet, from that time where you finish one chapter to the time you started the next chapter, you got to think about what might happen next, what excitement might happen. That's the idea of Scripture. You start small and you read a bit of God's word and you say, how is that going to apply to me today? At the end of the day, you say, God, I see how that applied to me today, and give thanks to Him, and you dwell in God's word. So I always say start small. And if a great place is starting in the book of Matthew, but rekindle that love or build that love more for Scripture. The simple act of reading will do a lot to combat biblical illiteracy, which in many ways seems rampant today. No doubt you have heard over the years, people say something and then say, well, the Bible says. And then upon closer look, you realize, nope, the Bible doesn't say. That's not a thing. That's not real. That you've taken something that was true and you've slightly manipulated, usually not on purpose, but you've slightly manipulated it. And so there is that act of starting small and dwelling in God's word, to be fed from the word. Yes, first we must read the Bible. Second, we must say, how does this apply to us? If we dig in to this and we look at Psalm 119, you know, it's how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Now, coming back to what I just talked about, you can start to see how the writer of this passage uses all of those synonyms for God's word: law, testimonies, judgment, precepts, statutes, commandments, ordinances, promises, and word. And it's all in that little 9 through 16 passage. If you translate that, translate all of those things into Psalm 119 verses 9 through 6, and just go by what we say the Bible, instead of using the poetic form that's here, we can see how much more, how much emphasis is put on this. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to what is written in the Bible. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from what is written in the Bible. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me what is in the Bible. With my lips, I recount all that is in the Bible, that it may come to my mouth and be of use. I rejoice in what you have written in the Bible as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on what is in the Bible and consider your ways as you teach. I delight in what you've written for me in the Bible. I will not neglect the Bible. You know, as I translate, that is what we would do in English. And obviously, Obviously, the writer here has done this in poetic form, but you can see how often the Bible is not only that we read, but we delight and we get excited. We rejoice in what is written. And it also challenges us to live it out. You know, what do you see as you hear this? I can tell you some observations that jump out even in this passage. There's one question asked in the passage. The rest is verses that provide the answer. The question concerns the young man in his pursuit of purity, and there are six positive action statements that the psalmist makes. He doesn't just sit back and hope purity comes by osmosis. And I know osmosis doesn't work because it did not help on my French finals in high school. But he gives some action statements to seek. I have hidden, recount, rejoice, meditate, delight. And then there's only one strong statement that reveals what the psalmist will not do, which is, I will not neglect your word. The other thing is that there are two requests made. Do not let me stray from your commands, which is saying we will stray on our own, and teach me your decrees, which is we need to be taught. The phrase, I delight, comes after a determination is made to seek, hide, and recount, rejoice, and meditate. And so what does that mean? After making all these observations, you know, what we see is in order to live according to God's word, we must first love God's word. Take a look at verse 9 again. Purity comes when we live according to God's word. And that word living means to keep guard and was used as a protective hedge of thorns around that would protect you. We live in a world where as if anybody listened to Cort Jacobson at Sunrise on Sunday, where he talked about how much the world is bombarding our high schoolers and our middle schoolers and, well, all those that are in school from really elementary right up to college with truth that is not absolute, that is just relative truth. You know, believe what you want to believe. And if you do that, then that is truth to you. You know, absolute truth isn't really a thing. It's not universal amongst all people. But relative truth is, you know, if you believe it, then it's truth to you, which is so dangerous. And our kids are being bombarded. We are being bombarded with truth or relative truth all the time. Now, so much has been said over the last couple of weeks about what's going on in Ukraine. And one of the things that has come out of this is the propaganda in Russia itself, where here you have Russians who are or a Russian state media who is really not showing anything about what is going on in Ukraine, whether it is losses of life, whether it is attacking non-military targets, whether it is the destruction that is actually happening to their own equipment. It's not being run into the news. There's an effective propaganda that is being sent and taught to the people there to the point where they don't have a clue of what is really happening. You know, this idea is if we tell them what is true, then they have to believe what is true. And that's not what we see in Psalm 119, right? Psalm 119 is saying if someone tells us something is true, we go to God's word to see if it is true, because that is, of course, absolute truth. So what do I do with this, right? As we go through verses 10 through 16, we can see, I will seek God with all my heart. There's no half-heartedness in spirituality allowed. 2 Chronicles chapter 15:15 says, all Judah rejoiced about the oath they took because they had sworn it wholeheartedly. They sought God eagerly and he was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every side, meaning all those battles that were going on around them ceased to exist. All that turmoil ceased to exist as they earnestly sought God. The second is, I will memorize God's word. Look what happens as a result of hiding God's word in our hearts in verse 11, that I might not sin against you. There's something to be said about as we memorize scripture, as we know scripture more readily, that we are able to recognize where there's sin in our lives and where we need improvement and how God can refine us. In verse 13, it also says, I will recount all that God says. And the word really means to enumerate or go over repeatedly. And we must learn the message to live out the message. And once we're living the message, we got to be able to give out the message of the gospel. Right? It's that Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, impress them upon your children. Talk about them as you sit at home, as you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. The picture here is, of course, that it's not just memorize it, but we make it readily available and speak God's word regularly. And in verse 14, it goes even further and says, I will rejoice in following God's word. There's a joy that comes from obedience. The fifth thing is that I will meditate on God's word and his ways. You know, Eastern meditation, the goal is to empty the mind, but biblical meditation that we're talking about here involves filling the mind with God's word. This word that we're talking about here is saying every part of every day, asking, how is God going to use you? How is God, what is God teaching you from the situation that you're in? One of the things that I love to do is pray through different passages of the Bible and enter that into my own prayer life, much like we would say, you know, as we look at Psalm 119, 6 through or 9 through 16, you know, to be able to pray through that as part of my prayer life, where I can go to God and say, God, I want to be excited for your word, and I want to study your word, and I want it on my lips all the time. And I pray today the prayer of the psalmist, which is saying, how can I keep my way pure? I pray that I will seek you with all my heart. I pray that I will not stray from your commands. I pray that I will have your word hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I pray that you would teach me your decrees. I pray that I would be able to recount all the laws that come from you. I rejoice in what you have given me, and I pray that I would rejoice in what you have given me. Right? And I pray through that Psalm 9 through 16 in this case. Why? Because it applies to me, and it applies to you. This is something that we have to be vigilant with. And so after meditating on his word and his ways, we get to the point where we say delight in God's decrees. If we're honest, sometimes we don't delight in God's word. And honestly, if we wait until we delight in it before we dig in, we might wait a long time. The first and foremost, we have to dig in and dive into God's word. And as you dive into God's word, you will delight in God's word. It is the natural outflow. Diving into God's word is that catalyst that turns into delight and delight in God's word. As we get into God's word, we will delight in it. It's not we may delight in it. We will delight in it as we seek God's guidance in absolutely everything. You know, as we kind of finish this up and run out of time here, I think probably what I will do next week is continue on. We've talked about what we will do and what this passage will do, and I want to talk about what we will not do, because that's the last little part of this passage. And so, again, as we go from here, I hope that you can read Psalm 119 and really say, what will I do because of what I read this? How is God speaking to me? And what we talked about here is I will seek God with all my heart. I will memorize God's word. I will do the best to recount and go over repeatedly what God says. I will rejoice in following God's word and in that obedience to God's word. I will meditate and pray through God's word. I will delight in his decrees. All of those things are going to help us become passionate for living out God's word. And after that, and after those positive exhortations and six of them, we're going to take a look next week at that last negative one, but I don't want to jump into that right now, so we will stop there for this week. So So I hope you are will have enjoyed this little journey through it. We are not done with it yet. We still got one last verse, and that's going to take up all of next week. But until then, I will say take care, have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week. Thank you for joining us on the Luke Miller Podcast, a part of Sunrise Digital Ministries at Sunrise Community Church in Fair Oaks, California. If you're wanting to know more about our digital ministries, you can download our app at the Google Play Store or the Apple Store, where you'll find Backshed Bible Study, Sunday Sermons, and the Luke Miller Podcast. If you've got questions about who Jesus is or what it means to be a Christ follower, we would love to connect with you. And you can send us a note at www.sunrise.church/welcome, and we'll get you connected. Thanks again for joining us. Take care.